And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful to be here tonight. Lord, grateful to be in this room, nice and cool, safe from the rain. Lord, you are just the giver of great blessings, and Father, we're so appreciative. I pray you be with us now. Lord, attune us to your word as we look at this example that Samuel has brought. Lord, help us to understand and to learn, and Lord, to pick up these lessons that he taught in his life. For it's the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Verse 1 says, "And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran." Now, this, like many verses just like it, all right, a main character, a main person in the story is gone. But it weighs a little bit heavier than that. This is not just the ceremony of a great man. This is not just the funeral of a very powerful high priest or a very well-known person in the government. No, Samuel marked the end of the last judges of Israel. Now, of course, we understand the history of the judges of Israel. And we understand the cycle that they would fall into. But that is how God organized his religion, not his religion, but his people. That I command the high priest, I command the leader that I've put there, and they rule you. They go by my direction. In their hearts, in their covetousness of what they saw around them, they desired a king, a man who thought like them, who represented them the way that others around them represented them. The problem was they traded the opinions and ways of God for the opinions and ways of a man. And every man that we see after this who stands up and takes the role of king, either of Israel or Judah, it does not matter. There was faults and failures. We do so much to talk up how great David was, but David committed many sins. And not just your common everyday ones, not that you could call sin common, but he committed very large, very heinous crimes. We will then point to Solomon. Solomon had his faults. He had his follies. No matter what king we label, some good, some bad, all of them interjected too much of their sin nature into the people. And when you label a bad one, you label them just as bad as you could possibly be. We look at our presidents of today. Well, this one's in bed with Russia. This one's in bed with Russia. This one's too close with Ukraine. This one, this. And we fault them for how close they are to foreign powers, don't we? Well, I tell you what, when we see a king step in and do things that not only damaged the people, but brought in false gods, planted them within the temple, right? These terrible things that they would do. When they did bad, they didn't just do bad, they did really bad. So even the good ones are bad, and the bad ones are downright treacherous. It was not a good form. Samuel was the last of a wonderful era. Now, was it ugly? It was ugly, man. Those people, they'd get a revival inside of them, and that revival would leave them just as quickly as it got in. Every judge was like a cup of coffee. It set things right for a little bit, and then slowly they would come back down, get into the baser elements of things. But I'll tell you this, Samuel was a man who knew what he was doing, because he knew his God. You want to know the cutting difference between someone who does well, someone who knows what they are doing, and a fool? It is how they treat God in their lives. Somebody asked, they said, "Listen, I'm having a hard time with the church. I'm thinking of leaving the church. My wife and my kids, they love the church, but I'm having a hard time wanting to be around the church." And I stopped him. I said, "Listen," I go, "everything you've said come out of your mouth has been about the church. You need to forget about the church for a second. What's going on between you and God?" "Well, that's really not a part of it." "Oh, yes, it is. It is. God is the reason why I'm a member of a Baptist church. I joined because of him. You understand? Now I'll tell you, well, why did I start going to the church? I started going to the church because my friends went to the church. I started going to the church because they were willing to come pick me up on a Thursday night. I started going to the church because we had a fun atmosphere and I absolutely loved the people there. You want to know why I joined the church? Because Jesus Christ came, died on the cross for my sins. And I was commanded to do so. So I did. Hit the fast forward button. 3 years later, the guy who invited me stops going to church. Now, is that my permission to get out of the church? Nope. Fast forward a little bit more. Everybody that I knew, everybody that had started coming, everybody that I went to class with, stopped going to church. Now, that's a good time to get out of church, isn't it? To some, yes. To me, no. Why? Because I wasn't there because of them. I was there because of God. I've said this 1,000 times. You don't leave church. You leave God. And typically, there's a problem between you and God long before you walk out those doors. Right? So we say, well, I don't go because I'm afraid of what they'll say. I don't go because I don't want there to be drama. I don't leave because of this, that, or the other. I don't leave because I don't want to walk away from God, because there came a time when Jesus Christ was on that cross and he could have walked away, but he didn't. You think we offered Jesus Christ a wonderful experience while he was down here? We doubted him from the beginning. We insulted him throughout. We put him on that cross. He wasn't respected among his own people. He wasn't treated right among his own people. We put him up on that cross, and they rejoiced to see him hang. He could have at any moment pulled himself off of that cross and just wiped us out, but he didn't. Why? Obedience to his Father. His love for us. So I tell you what, I'll stay. Oh, brother, you don't know anything about turmoil and people not acting right in church. Listen, I've only ever gone to church with human beings. So I know what it's like to get mistreated. I know what it's like to be humiliated. I know what it's like to be hurt. I know. You know why I don't walk out that door? Because God brought me through that door. And I stay where God put me. And that's it. And I stayed at Flat Rock until the day the Lord moved me over here. And I'm going to stay here until the Lord moves me again. No, no. Lord willing, it won't happen. I'd like to stay. I was talking to Pastor Hugan. He's been there forever. Right? I can't remember how long it's been. 200, 300 years he's been in that church. I don't want to hop. I want to be there. Right? I'll do what I can. You know, but I'm going to be where I am until God says otherwise. Lord calls me home, I'm going home. But Samuel was a man who knew what he was doing, not because people agreed with it, not because there was a consensus about that certain kind of behavior, but because Samuel knew God. And wherever God wanted him to be, whatever God told him to do, he did. Whatever God told him to say, he said. Samuel is one of the few people in the Bible where it is very difficult to point to something he'd done wrong. Oh, he was a sinner. Let's not hero worship people. He was a sinner. We'll find, you know, a couple things in there maybe he could have done differently. And we don't get to see the whole thing of his life. There was sin in there for sure. But he's one of the few people his faults ain't brought up. We get to see so much of his life. I mean, he lived for 99 years. No, he probably wasn't perfect every day. But I'll tell you this, he knew who God was. He knew what God expected of him. And he did accordingly. He was the man of what we would say to be few flaws. If he excelled at anything, he excelled at obeying God. There's a lot of milestones that we put in our lives. Well, if I can get to this point, right? If I can, well, what's the first one you have? I got to graduate this high school, right? Some of you just did that. Got to graduate high school. Got to graduate college. Got to get the job. And then we sit there and what do? For the next 30 plus years, I got to get to retirement, man. We're either sitting there going for that promotion, going for that whatever. I got to get to there. And then I got to get to retirement. Oh, and then life opens up. Some of you are smiling at me. What are you going like, nope? Because there's always the next milestone in there. And after a while, before you realize that there's one big milestone that could come at you at any time. You know, whether you're retired or you're newly born, it don't matter. That final milestone comes up quick. See, we all have these moments. I want this, I want this, I want... Samuel's mode was set on, what does God want me to do right now? One of the most powerful ways that you could ever aim your life is, what does God want me to do? Right? So whatever you're... Many of you, well, I'm retired, brother. I ain't got to pick a career. I ain't got to pick a lifestyle. I done lived my lifestyle. My life was already styled. Right? What you're doing right now needs to be aimed at God. Some of you are young. Go, Pastor, that don't make no sense. I'm a child. You're in the perfect spot to decide how you're going to live your life. I ought to live my life through the direction and the GPS of Scripture. And that's going to look different for every single last one of us. God gives each and every one of us different skill sets, different passions, different desires, and God allows us to chase those passions and desires. We were talking at the men's fellowship, and I was telling people about the early days when Danielle would come home from work, and she'd want to talk about her work day. Now, Danielle was a veterinary technician, so she'd talk about doing doctor stuff to animals at the dinner table. Now to her, that sets her brain on fire. It edifies her. It makes her feel good. I have a hard time connecting to that. I'm supposed to be tough, but she'd try to get me to hold the dog in a certain way so she could take blood or she could give it an injection or something like, hey man, just hold it just like this. I to this day still cannot. Right? Well, hold the dog just like that so I can get its nails. No, it's my buddy. I won't do it. Two completely different minds. God's going to give us each our different passions, each different things that excite us, and that's fine. But whatever direction and talent you have, make sure you aim that back at the Lord. Make sure you're Christian in whatever job you have. Make sure you show yourself to be His first in that position. All right, well, listen, what we're going to do is, you know, I like this. A pastor gave this illustration. He was working in a moving industry, and they were selling old boxes at brand new box prices. And he says, well, I'm not going to do that. You be a Christian in your job. That's what you need to do. I'm going to live by biblical principles no matter what it is you've asked me to do. I ain't going to lie, cheat, steal. I ain't going to participate in things I ought not to. I'm not going to go down to the bar with you guys. I'm not going to show up at the potluck where you're drinking. I'm just not going to. Right? The old Christmas party. How many drinks are we allowed to have at the Christmas party this year? Matt, what are you going to do with your drink tickets? Can I have your drink tickets? I told one guy, I give you my drink tickets. You drink one too many. You get into a car wreck on the way home. I'm blaming myself the rest of my life. Well, that's silly. I go, well, I'm a very silly person. But that is exactly what I would do. No, thank you. Right? Call it narrow-minded. Call it whatever you like. But I'm not going to do that. I wouldn't go down to the bar and buy you three drinks and sit there and watch you drink them. Why would I give them to you? Doesn't make any sense. Right? Hey, if you guys find any unopened bottles of liquors while you're cleaning up the grounds out there, bring them on back to me. No, that's foolish. I'm not doing that. Be a Christian in your workplace. Honor God in the things that you do. That's what Samuel did. He excelled at obeying the Lord. All right? He was a little child sitting there in his bed. Hey, Samuel, go over to Eli. He didn't know who was calling him. So he went to the highest authority he could. Going, hey, whoever it was, I could say I was with you. He went to, yes, yes. sitting there, called up in the middle of the night, talking to the Lord. Samuel knew how to obey God. Samuel obeyed God when it came down to who to anoint as king. I mean, Samuel, he was the high priest. He was a judge. And he's offering this position over, knowing that it would be foolishness. Knowing that God is allowing the children of Israel to pretty much do the equivalent of allowing a child to have cookies for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, so they'll understand why you can't have cookies for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So he says, go find Saul. And he goes through the work of finding Saul, and Saul becomes a disappointment. Now go to David. Now we all saw just recently what Saul did to a priest that went against him and went toward David. Samuel was no fool. There's nothing that we see in Samuel's life that proved to us that that man had a thinking problem. No doubt it crossed his mind, Saul's going to be quite upset. Did he argue with God? Oh, he might have mourned Saul, but he didn't argue with God. What did he do? Well, he went on over. He went through all the sons of Jesse and asked for one more. Anointed him to be king. And as Saul began his nonsense and his revelry, there he was, still doing the job that God had gave him. I hear people, they look out in this world and they make decisions on what we ought to be doing for the Lord based on what they see out there. Well, we might as well start packing it in. Surely this is the end. Surely this is it. And I do. I believe the Lord could come back any day. But I also believe that I ought to be working like he won't. Right? Well, I'll be there at 5:00. We work and we stop at 4:59. Right? Oh, they're coming. All right, 4:59. Let's stop working. Some of us, we've got a little, not us, not, I say us editorially, but some Christians, some of God's people today, they say, oh, he's coming any day now, and they're not doing anything. That is a dangerous thing to be caught doing. Nothing in the day the Lord comes back. Sleeping when the good men of the house returns. That is a bad guard. That is a bad watchman. We ought to be working as though it could be another 500 years. We ought to. Why? Because I was called to be obedient. Weren't you called to be obedient? I was called to the Great Commission. Now, nowhere in the Bible does it say start tapering down your efforts when you begin to see things get bad. That's not what in any business you're ever in, you're not going to see that. When things get bad, slow down. Where does that ever come in? Never seen that work. We're here to be called to be what? Lights. Well, you ever hear somebody say it's too dark for a flashlight? It's too dark to turn the lights on. I've never heard it. It's too bland to put the salt onto it. That dish is just far too bland. You don't put salt on a dish that bland. We don't say that, do we? But yet for some reason, we as Christians will sit there and say the world's gone too bad. There ain't nothing we can do. We ought to keep trying. We ought to keep working. Listen, that website we've got up, we still get hits all over the globe. It's been a while since I've checked it, but we still get hits all over the globe. When I'll take a message and I'll share it on our Facebook page. I never share any of mine, by the way. I always share an older pastor's. When I share those out, they'll still get hits from all over the globe. There's still people out there hungry. There's still people out there listening. We don't give up on that. Those people out there, oh, they're too far gone. God didn't make anybody too far gone. If he's got his elect out there, his elect are his elect. Right? We can't play games like that. Oh, well, we got two kings now. I might as well just back down, and I know this is going to be a disaster. So I might as well just back down, go hide in a hole of my own. Wait for God to call me home. He didn't. He went to the temple. He served wherever it was God needed him to serve. And he went to work, doing the things, giving the offerings and the sacrifices. That's what he did. Whenever there was trouble, there was Samuel to speak God's word into the situation. I tell you what, that ought to be the draw of each and every one of us in this room. To speak the word of God into every situation we see going on out there. Oh, we've got our clever ideas, and I'll be honest with you, my words have gotten me in trouble more than once. But it's the Word of God we ought to be bringing into situations. We are flawed. We are forgetful. We are not always as attentive as we should be. God's way was designed by a being that is perfect. It may not always be in style, but it is always good. It always works. I was watching I don't know if you'd call it a documentary. It's more of an infotainment thing on really old appliances. That's how old I've gotten. If I were to go back to 15-year-old me and be like, one day you're going to sit there and watch a documentary on really old appliances, I don't know what I would do. I'd probably be really disappointed in where my life was at, when I say green, you know what the green I'm talking about? The old refrigerators, that pale green they used to make? He had one of those, still working. And I sat there in awe because I used to buy the brand new ones and we'd have to replace them every 3 years. We'd even write the date we installed them on the back just as a reminder in case the office lost the date. 3 years. Yep, this is bad on it. That's bad on it. We got to replace this. All the condensers shot, blah, 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 blah. Oh, man, these things just do not last. And forget about dishwashers. Oh, dishwashers, they're one of the most feeble things you could buy. So we look just how cheap and throwawayable things are. Many of the things we do were just like that. Cheap. We've got our ideas. We've got our plans. But man, you look back at some of those old things are still working. Why? Because that's the way they were built, were they not? Many of you remember a time. It was before, this isn't a joke. You know what I'm talking about. It was before my time. There was a time in this country we built things, and that was the bragging rights. We built things to see how long they would last. You built a car so it would last forever. And then all of a sudden we got this idea, well, that's not working. I don't sell as many of them. I've got to have a shelf life on these things. Right? You pull out your phone, doesn't your phone start to act weird about a year into your contract? And by the time your contract is up, you are done with it. You know they do that stuff on purpose. But I tell you what, can you just raise your hand if you still have a landline in your home? That still works, doesn't it? Does that ever fray out on you? Do you ever have to go down to the basement to get that to work? You see what I'm talking about? That's God's ways. God's ways are reliable. God's ways were built to last. God's ways were designed to fashion and work in every situation at any given time in our society's history, right? That's just the way it is. Our devices are flash in the pan. They're designed with some kind of evil attached to them. Eventually something bad will happen and you will have to bring it back. I had a car one time just to replace one of the light bulbs. Light bulbs were 50 cents. Right? I worked for the company that sold and delivered car parts. So I could even get them for cheaper than that. I'd buy them for a quarter. Right? 90 bucks to have a mechanic put them in. 90 bucks. And that tells you all you need to know about the way we design things. Scam each other, hurt each other, make the most we can off of each other. I think it was for $7.50 I bought the tool that they used at the dealership. I bought that tool from my employer. I'd go around, I'd stop off at gas stations. While I was filling up, if I saw another car with a headlight out, I go, 90 bucks to repair it? They're like, yeah. I go, pull on over. Hold on a second. I'd have a bag of them. I'd buy them for 25 cents. Pop that thing out. I'd always try to fight people off, but of course there was one or two slip of $5 in there. I'd go in, I'd buy more light bulbs. I felt pretty good doing that. And pretty much that's what we're doing now. Man's devices are creating a mess. And we've got so many answers and so many solutions to the problems that are out there today. All we need to do is have the bravery and the boldness to say, that's difficult, huh? Yeah, it is. Can you believe it? I can. Pull on over. I got something for you. That's all it takes. You done doing it that way? Yeah. Gideon's building a birdhouse. And he's on the first step of building a birdhouse. Now, when I was a kid, I was just like him. I want to whip the whole thing together as fast as possible. But that first step is a doozy. And that's you got to sand the wood down. Yeah? Is this good enough? Nope, go back. Is that good enough? No, you gotta keep going. Stop coming back to me every 30 seconds. You gotta put the work in. Now I won't tell him what I've got out in the garage. I want him to earn his calluses first. Right? The same as all of us did. But no, that's hard, isn't it? Yeah, it's just difficult. It's difficult. I got a solution for you. Hold on. You tired of doing it the hard way? Yeah, you know what? I am getting tired of doing it the hard way. Here, come here. Let me show you something. Let me show you what God says about your situation. Yeah. I know God, and we're supposed to be really upset about God, and we're supposed to reject His ways because whatever. But I want you to take a second, and I want you to hear what He actually has to say. Put it in your mind. Let it rattle around for a while. And think on it. Think on it. Samuel was a man who knew how to obey God regardless of what was going on around him. He didn't pause. He didn't change. He didn't shift. He didn't go from being God's man to Saul's man. And he didn't switch from being Saul's man to David's man. He was God's man from the beginning. He was God's man in the end. It was God that gifted his mother with the ability to have a child. You remember that? She couldn't have one. Her heart was broken. She'd mutter as though she were drunk, to just her desire to God, Lord, please let me have a child. I'll give him to you the rest of his days. Now his mama didn't know this, but that's exactly what happened. Samuel walked with God for the rest of his days, giving us the exact illustration we need to know when our walk is done. It didn't just go to refusing to follow the crowd at the end of his life. He refused to follow the crowd in the beginning of his life when he was most impressionable, when he very easily could have been turned. And I tell you what, you stick a young man around a bunch of other men who are messing up, it's not hard for that young man to join in on him. I knew a young guy, he went out to work, it's not quite a mechanic, but he was doing a mechanic type stuff, and he'd go into that garage, and he was a clean mouthed, pleasant person, polite person to be around. He was in there for a few months. Before you know it, he had a foul mouth. He'd mind his P's and Q's when he was around godly people, but you put him in a different area. He knew how to cuss. He knew how to smoke. He knew how to drink. He knew where to find things he didn't know before. It's not hard to take a young man, an impressionable young man, put him among a bunch of heathen and have him come out a heathen. Look at Eli's sons. Eli's sons were heathen. The things they were doing to those women, the things they were doing in that temple, the things they were taking for themselves that didn't belong to them, they were heathens. They were awful, awful people. So much so that God punished them and Eli for their transgressions. Oh yeah, by the way, that lackadaisical attitude that Eli had towards things, not putting his sons out, not putting his sons under. I get that they were adults, but there comes a time when a dad's got to look over at his grown son and say, you're fired. You can't be among God's stuff anymore because of the stuff you did. If he was any kind of priest, that's exactly what he should have done. Get out. Oh, but it's our birthright. Oh, but no. If you ain't worthy, if you can't do things God's way, you ain't worthy to be inside God's house. You ain't worthy to be among His stuff. He didn't fall in with Eli's sons when they could have been tempting. He didn't adopt Eli's ways of doing things. Samuel was hard-lined. Followed God no matter what. When Saul began to do the crazy things that he was doing, he didn't back down. He didn't change. He spoke as plainly to Saul and as clear a language as God had given him to do, that he was no longer king, that he no longer had a part, that God was done with him and so was Samuel. That's brave things to do to a king, isn't it? Especially a man as mad as Saul. But he did it. Why? Because that's what God said to do. That's the permission God gave him. You know, God gives you permission to be bold. I try to be nice. I try to be kind. I try to, you know, I'm not always a shouting person out there in the street when I'm talking to folks. I don't talk out there the way I talk in here. Not because I'm trying to hide anything, but because it's a different situation. You start preaching at dinner, that's a little inappropriate, but I can sit there and say, this is what God has to say. And I can say it in love, and I can say it in truth. That's what we ought to be doing. Say it in love. Say it in truth. You got the right to be bold. What was it that one preacher says? Be nice. It's the new 11th commandment. Be nice and forget about the other 10. That ain't there. Be bold. See, I don't think it's very nice. You know, you get a big old stain on your shirt, nobody points it out because they didn't want to be rude. Meanwhile, you're walking around with a big old stain in your shirt. Right? Hey, do you know a bird made a mess in your hair? Please let me know that before I go into my big meeting. Right? That ain't nice. That's mean. You had knowledge. You knew something could go wrong if I did that. Right? Hey, don't go in there. That one's broken. No, I didn't want to tell him what to do. I didn't want to impose on their decision making. I like to give warnings if something ain't quite right. Danielle and I, we went hiking up it was either our honeymoon or the second trip we went down there. And there was a bear. Everybody who came up to us as they walked the other way, hey, be real careful. There's a mama and some cubs up there. Hey. Just so you know, there's a mama. They had 7 or 8 people stop us. There's a mama and some cubs up there. I was well aware of the mamas and some cubs. And you know what? I didn't grouse about the interruption. I didn't grouse about the boldness that they had to tell me about a mama bear, like I can't handle a mama bear, right? I didn't bother about any of those things. You want to know why? Because I'm not entirely sure I could handle a mama bear. I saw a picture Dwayne had on his phone. I wouldn't want to meet one of those, right? The last time I saw a bear in the wild, I was in a go-kart. If I have to meet another one, that's how I'd like to meet another one. With me, with something with some steam underneath me, right? Just, I saw it, it saw me, it was on the other side of a field, and before it could move, I was gone and crying. Right? I won't tell you how old I was. I wasn't upset about any of those things. Now, could I have? Yeah, I'm a fleshly person. Why is everybody stopping us about this bear? Ruining my hike. I'm just trying to look over here and look over there. I'm just trying to enjoy the beautiful day. Everybody wants to stop and tell me about a bear. No, that's a bear. I don't want to mess with that. Why do you Christians keep telling me about Jesus? Why do you guys keep talking about salvation? When are you guys going to give this up? You don't understand. Hell is bigger than a bear. Hell is scarier and more painful. You see, a bear will kill you till you're dead. Hell, you die for eternity. I'm going to tell you about hell. I'm going to tell you about why you're going there. I'm going to tell you about how to get out of it. I'm going to point you to the one that can get you out of it. And I'm going to call that nice. To me, that's nice. I ain't got to be ugly. I ain't got to call names. As a matter of fact, the Bible recommends that you don't. But I do got to be bold. And that's what Samuel did. Samuel was able to stand before the king and say, God is done with you. See, a man who is led, a woman who is led by God, will have boldness. Well, I don't feel bold because you're not in the situation yet, are you? Right? God will give it to you when you need it. Now, I've got an airbag in my car. You got an airbag in your car. I don't feel that I've got an airbag in my car. You'll feel it when the moment comes. That's a horrible illustration. I need some sleep. No. I don't feel bold. When you're in that situation, you'll have it. I don't feel like I could ever do that. It's because you're not in that situation. You get yourself in that situation. That's what the Lord said. Take no thought for what you're going to say when they bring you up. Holy Spirit will provide the words. You ain't in that situation. Trust me. You put yourself where God told you to be, and you'll find Him there. You'll find Him exactly where He says He would be. We see Him being the end of an era. He broke the streak, and it was a bad streak to begin with, but it was a system, it was a cycle, right? They'd fall into sin. God would send someone to put them into captivity. They'd languish in captivity for a while. God would send them a judge. The judge would deliver them one way or the other. They would get their freedom. They would have revival. Sin would sneak back in. Their hearts would fall. They'd go back into captivity. And it was just a cycle. When Samuel anointed Saul, that cycle broke. Now that wasn't their last time in captivity. That wasn't the last time they were in trouble. But that cycle of bringing in a judge was now gone. But to me, there was something even more dangerous in there, and that is now this man that would lead. And the things that they would bring in, the false religion, the bad decision making, the things that they would do to make them more like everybody else, that just ruined them and pulled them away from God, put them into deeper lows than you would traditionally find them in. I mean, you may see the temple getting in trouble here or there, but man, to see false idols brought in, it was rough. I tell you what, they could have used a man like Saul or Samuel for the rest of their days, but this is where he would leave them. It didn't matter who was the king. Was it Saul? Was it David? I mean, we're going to study the fight between those two for the next couple months. Is Saul the king? Is David the king? Is Saul the king? Is David the king? To Samuel, the leadership of the nation never changed. It was God. It was God. Why, you know, do we have a Republican or a Democrat in the White House? It doesn't matter. I serve a king. Now listen, I'm going to vote a certain way. I don't think I've gone goofy. I'm not going to sit there with my hands back, and I'm not going to ignore a thing. You know what I mean? Just because I've got leather boots on doesn't mean I'm going to ignore a rattlesnake on the ground. You just be dumb. I'll vote because I'm not going to participate in bad stuff. I'm going to at least make an effort. No matter what stock you put in that effort, I'm at least going to make that effort. I'm going to make you have to sin to erase my vote. That's what you want to do, you're going to have to do it. It doesn't matter who's there. Well, what position am I? Am I a child? Am I an adult? Am I married? Who's an authority over me? Who's this? It doesn't matter. The leadership does not change in your life. And that's God. Well, this person, they're a little bit more lax, and we're surrounded by a group who's a little bit more relaxed. Maybe that means we can be more relaxed. No. No. You know, we had somebody comment on our rules for camp this year. They said, it seems like it's getting strict again. I go, oh, shoot. I was afraid you wouldn't notice. It's true. Why? We represent God. That's who we represent. Doesn't matter if it's Home Baptist Church leading the camp or somewhere down in Florida, God is still the leader. We got to do things in a way that would show that God is leading us. And if I'm acting in a way that would go against what God would have me to do, I'm messing up. And I'm messing up publicly. I'm giving the wrong example and the wrong impression. So to Samuel and to us, the leadership should never change. Samuel followed God from the night God called him. Followed God through Eli's priestship. He followed God to Saul. From Saul, he followed God to David. He followed God all the way on up to heaven. And that ought to be each and every last one of our stories. Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, how would you have me to do it? And what he leaves behind for us is an example for us to follow. God is king. Now that is not a bumper sticker. You ever see that? Jesus is king. I'm not picking on bumper stickers, but There's a lot of people with Jesus is King bumper stickers on acting like their king is somebody else. A lot of people out there. You know, I remember that college president. Jesus is awesome on the back of his Harley. Got major trouble for... I think it was something with taxes, and then he plagiarized. He wrote this book. He plagiarized most of that book. Didn't give credit to the people that actually wrote it. He stole it from another person's writing, put his name on it, made tons of money, didn't quite get all the taxes in for it. Is Jesus awesome? Because you say he's awesome, but you're not walking where he's walking nor living the way he'd ask you to live, so how do you know? Doesn't sound like you know him. And minor mistakes aside, when we start beginning corrupt things, and I would dare say many of his kind try to represent God for no other reason than to make money off of God. And it's a joke. It's a joke. You know, you see these guys out there and this ecumenical type movement, they've got no conviction in their lives. One of the biggest churches or quote-unquote franchise churches in this world, that Hillsong group. You see the quote, the pastor of that place? Didn't mind getting drunk. Didn't mind smoking marijuana. Didn't mind marijuana smoke inside the franchise. Didn't mind hanging out with pop stars that did all manner of degrading things. Didn't mind having an affair on his wife. And everybody, when they heard Jesus' name, they thought about this critter. It's embarrassing. Samuel wasn't that man. Samuel belonged to God through and through. God is my king. He tells me to do it, I'm doing it. I could trust him. I can rely on him. I could follow him. God was his king. He also gives us the example that we should never compromise on God's commands. Well, what we got to do is we got to mute this, we got to suppress that, and we'll get people a whole lot more interested. We'll get a whole lot more people interested. You would make a salad a lot more interesting to people. Less lettuce, less fruits and veggies, more processed foods. I tell you what, if you could make a pizza salad, people would be on board. If instead of croutons you had Doritos, well, that's a Mexican salad, isn't it? We already got that. Taco salad is what they call that, taco salad. Man, if I just changed what it was, people would like it a whole lot better. You change the things that God, it's no longer the stuff of God. You can't toy with it. Right? Now, we can do different things. You know, we can have a Bible study. We can have a preaching service. We can have devotions. But I tell you what, you don't change the Word of God. You don't dilute the Word of God. You don't try to mute it either. Hey, listen, I love a good song service, but if the song service lasts longer than the preaching time, and the preacher doesn't come up and give a lot from the Word of God, hey, remember, Jesus is awesome. He thinks you're awesome. We're all awesome together. Can I get an amen? Everybody raise your hands. All right, they've got the coffee ready for us in the back. Youth meeting we're going to have over here. Trampolines, bounce houses, and all this stuff. All right, in Jesus' name, amen. And they go out. You are committing sin. You are muting the Word of God. Well, God don't care if you read your Bible. Yes, He does. You think he held on to it? You think He preserved it for all these years? For only a handful of us to ever have to read it? No. No, we've got that responsibility. Never compromise on His commands. Well, hey, just this once. How do you know it's going to be just this once? How do you know? Bug will bite you once, it'll bite you again. We also see this in his example, never give up on God. You know, God asked Samuel to anoint Saul. It didn't make any sense to Samuel, but he did it. And I absolutely love that scene where Samuel is there and he's going one by one down the sons of Jesse. That's a good look. Yeah, that's a good looking guy right there. Yeah, this is, no. Oh, okay. All right, go. What about this one? He gets down to the smallest. This one, Lord? That one. Samuel didn't give up. Well, that's not the one I would pick. Which one did Samuel like? Samuel liked Saul. Head and shoulders above everybody else. Good complexion. Looked like a king. Right? The president we have right now, he doesn't quite look presidential, does he? Doesn't. You know, it's always weird. You know, the more liberal ones are the more good-looking ones. They went around a curve on this one. You know, JFK, despite his policy, didn't he look like a president? I even say this, I didn't agree with anything that Obama had to say, but I sure felt like he looked like a president, sounded like a president. You look back at some of his stuff that he would say, he had a very decent timbre. Didn't like any of the words that came out, but he had a decent kind of an approach to him, right? But man, we look over who we have now, and it kind of looks like we all ought to be found guilty of elder abuse. That is a man who deserves retirement, and we're just bringing him out here to beat him. You know, Samuel looks over, man, I like this guy. You know, we've never had more insults towards a president. I guess I got to be careful because I don't really know. But man, didn't Donald Trump get a lot of insults? Called him names, orange, made fun of his hair. They really run that guy through a ringer. But I tell you what, he knew what to do with the economy, didn't he? And I hear him talking about what he'd do with this war that's going on, and I kind of like to hear it. You know, if he wasn't a Republican, a lot more people would be on board with the way he put it. Did you hear what they asked him? Who would you like to see win this war, Ukraine or Russia? He goes, I just want the killing to stop. Doesn't that sound good? For those of you that live through, understand war and you've lived through enough of them, I mean, I tell you what, that war in Iraq, the war in Afghanistan, don't you just get to the point where you go, I'm tired of people dying. Let's get to the table and negotiate it. Yeah, but who would you like to see win? There's no winning. There's blood on the ground. There's nobody winning. We need to negotiate this out. I tell you what, if Obama had said that, they would have, oh. Man, they call the orange guy gets up there, and no. There's got to be a winner. There's got to be a winner. Can you think of anything more crooked than perverse than there's got to be a winner? That is crooked and perverse. You know, that's Samuel. I like the look of this guy. This guy looks good, right? This guy, he's got a good... He'd make us look progressive. She'd make us look progressive. Like we're moving forward if we brought them... Yeah, but they have no idea what they're doing. Yeah, but wouldn't it be good? Wouldn't everybody think we're doing good? No. That's exactly who Saul was. He looked good. He probably sounded good. People are like, oh yeah, if we want someone leading our armies, we want Saul. Saul never led a battle. He had a hard time getting in there, didn't he? Oh, Jonathan didn't have a problem. The man, so often you'd see Saul sitting under a tree somewhere. Looking over at that battle, that's what we got today. Oh, man. So he looks good, though. Not David. David made no sense whatsoever. He was a good-looking fella. But he didn't look kingly at that moment. He was going through that awkward teenager into adult stage. A little gangly. Great man of battle, but not exactly who you'd pick to be the king. But God knew his heart. So God set him. Samuel didn't fight him. He didn't give up on God. When it seemed like there was a bit of a civil war here with David and Saul, Samuel didn't give up on God. He just kept going. When Saul broke his heart, when things got difficult under Eli, didn't matter what situation the people were in, there was Samuel doing what God asked of him to do. All around this country, there are Baptist churches like you and me, same authority that we got. And they are sitting and waiting for their last day. They're sitting and waiting for their last day. To the day the final member of the church goes over to the door, locks it, and hands the key over to a realtor. And says, I'm praying that it goes fast. That's what they're waiting for. And they're going to sit in their little pockets in the church and wait for that day to come. And they'll have perfect attendance in church. They will pray every day. They will read the Bible. They will go to Bible conferences. They will sit around fellowships and just drool over the good old days. And I would dare say that that kind of behavior is exactly what giving up on God would look like. That would be all but walking away. We need to do one step better. We need to keep working. As much as we can, right? You know, I didn't bother Sister Mary about coming to camp this year, right? I'm not going to sit there and say, hey, Brother Tim, would you like to come on Thursdays and pitch the ball for the kids? All within our parameters, right? You know, some of you got some mobility issues. Sister Dalberta, we're going to be going about 5 miles to hand out tracts. Do you want to be my walking buddy and hold all the tracts for me? You know what I mean? Within our limits, right? Within our limits. But we ought to have a heart to serve. And when it gets to the point where our bodies will no longer allow us to do things, we need to be an encouragement to those that can and write letters. And don't fall for the trap of the devil. Well, I don't have any value anymore. You've got a bank of knowledge and wisdom that people like me and the people who are coming up behind me can tap into. Did you know that it's a symbiotic relationship? I was at a preacher's conference one time. It was a young preacher's conference. The young preacher got up and started preaching about how we are now the ones taking over and stepping in. And it's time for us to take over. And an older preacher got upset about that. He said, we're still here. We're still doing. I said, you know, you two, if you just put hand in hand, you'd have the picture of what God wants you to do. You got the person with the body that could run. And you got the person with the mind that could tell them where. And both of you could run with the baton at the same time. You ever see that in a race? They don't just throw the baton over to the other person. They run together for a while, don't they? That's what we do. If you're in the point where you've run the race and you're handing that baton off and you're running along and you've noticed that the person you're handing it off to is moving faster than you are, don't feel bad about that. You're at the end of the race. Right? You're at the handing the baton portion off. You're at the training portion of what you're doing. You're training them. And I do. I pray there comes a time we see these young people come up and they're begging, how do I do this? How'd you guys keep it straight? How'd you do this in your marriage? How'd you do this when you moved out? How did you do this with your kids? And what was it like having grandkids? And what am I supposed to do? I pray for the time they come and they start bothering you. Because that'll be that moment you've got your hand on the baton, they got their hands on the baton, and you're running together. But don't you ever feel bad. They run faster than I do. Well, my body don't work the way it used to. Of course not. You just ran a full race. Run a little bit longer. Run a little bit longer. Push a little bit harder. Because there are people coming up who, much like the ones that came up after Samuel, who need that example of how to end well, of how to live with what it is they're about to jump into. This world is crazy. It's about to get crazier. I spoke to a young man. Forgive me, my mind just went blank on his first name. But he was down there at the conference, Titus. Can't remember his first name. Called to preach. Got off the phone with him last week. And I said, you know what? We live through the... He goes, I go, we're unique because we live through the good old days. We were just there as the good old days were kind of, you know. And now we're stretching into the days where it's going to get dark. And I go, and I'm glad I saw the way that it's supposed to be. So that I know what the standard should always be. And there ain't nothing that the devil has. They'll convince me that God can't do that again. Well, what if the Lord comes back? I ain't going to worry about it. Lord calls me home while I'm sweating in the face. I'll go home early. I'll go. But for every day I'm here, it's my responsibility. to run so that those that came after have an example of what to do and how to do it. Samuel left behind an amazing testimony. That is the option that each and every one of us has. To get to the point to where people could point to our lives and say, there was a person whose king was God. There was a person who knew why we ran and ran well because they knew God and they knew what God wanted and they did it. Heavenly Father, we're not worthy of this calling, but here we are. With your enabling, Lord, your strengthening, Lord, your wisdom, we know that there ain't a thing you've asked us to do that we can't do. So, Father, I pray you keep us healthy, keep us strong, keep us moving forward. So that, Father, those people here in this building who need us, and have a good example from us. Lord, I pray for those who are outside of the building. That, Lord, we be that shining light into our community. It points people to you. Not to us, not to our ministries, not to our works, but, Lord, to you. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.